بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. الله عز وجل in سورة البقرة number 45 and 46 الله سبحانه وتعالى says واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين. Depend upon صبر and prayer, and that's definitely difficult except for those people who have focus. الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. Those who have, and I'll not translate the word ظن right now, but they have ظن that they are going to meet their master, أنهم ملاقوا ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون, and that they are returning back to him. So, how do we translate the word ظن? Allah Azza wa Jalla is talking about believers. They have sabr, patience, they do their salah, and that's definitely difficult, except for those people who have focus in their salah, and they're concentrating and they're working hard on it. And they are people who they have ظن that they're going to meet their master subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're returning back to him. So usually the word ظن means some kind of uncertainty or some kind of doubt. How come Allah Azza wa Jalla used the word ظن and he didn't use the word yaqeen? And so some scholars said, well, here in this particular context, obviously the word ظن must mean yaqeen, it must mean certainty, because Allah is praising a certain group of people and they are absolutely sure that they are going to meet their master subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's praising them, and he wouldn't be praising them because if they had doubt about it, about the day of judgment, about the resurrection, about the fact that they're going to come back to life after death, Allah Azza wa Jalla wouldn't be praising them if they have doubt about these kind of things, because to have doubt about the day of judgment and so on, this is obviously a type of disbelief. So therefore, some of the scholars said, ظن here must mean certainty. Okay, so if ظن means certainty, why didn't Allah Azza wa Jalla simply use a word like certainty? الَّذِينَ يَتَيَقَّنُونَ, they have, الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمًا يَقِنِيًا, they absolutely know, they don't have any doubt, they have absolute certainty, or that kind of thing. So some of the scholars said that the word ظن can be used to mean certainty when used in a particular context. For example, ظَنَّ أَن, when used with this particular preposition أَن, then ظَن means certainty. And they will bring, you know, various quotations from Jahili poetry showing that the ancient Arabs did use the word ظَن أَن to mean certainty, or maybe even the word ظَن by itself to mean certainty. So this is another argument. Now, there's a third argument that it could actually be a type of uncertainty, that they have certainty that they are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have absolute certainty that there is a day of judgment, they have absolute certainty that they are going to come back to life after death, but they're not sure how that meeting will go. They're not sure if Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept their repentance. They're not sure if Allah will accept their good deeds. They're not sure if they come maybe with a mountain of good deeds, maybe those good deeds will all go to somebody else because they insulted somebody or took away somebody's rights. So he might come with a whole bunch of good deeds, but all of that will go to somebody else. So they know that they will meet Allah absolutely with certainty, but they are unsure how that meeting will go. And so therefore, if you look at it from all these angles, you can look at it from the perspective of aqidah, like from theology and faith, that we know how the Day of Judgment is, and we know that we will go back to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and there is a Day of Judgment, but we are not sure what will happen on that day. And we can look at it from a linguistic perspective to say, yes, sometimes the word dhan can be used like this, sometimes the word dhan can be used like that. And these are not necessarily exclusive. These are not necessarily contradictory perspectives, which gives us an insight into the minds of how scholars work. Because sometimes, you know, we're looking at the exact same text, the exact same hadith, or the exact same issue or scenario, and we have exactly the same text in front of us, then we are surprised that scholar A says this and scholar B says the exact opposite of that. Why does that happen? Because they're looking at it from different perspectives, even though it's all the exact same information. And then, of course, if the information itself is different, for example, a scholar feels like this hadith is not very authentic, the other one says, no, that hadith is obviously authentic, is completely authentic, then of course, obviously, they're going to come up with different conclusions about a religious ruling, about should we do this or should we not do that, what's the preferred action, and so on. So it gives us an insight into why ikhtilaf takes place. When we look at these kind of things, even the meaning of a word, the usage of the word, the particular perspective that a scholar takes when he's looking at that specific word, All of that feeds into the analysis and the conclusions that come out when they look at that. And just as a side point, the fact that ظن in Arabic can mean certainty and it can also mean uncertainty. This is something that's not unique to Arabic, because depending upon the context, we have words like that in English as well. The word fast, for example, these are called Janus words. So the word fast, for example, fast can mean to move quickly. That's usually what we think of when we think of the word fast. But you also tell somebody hold fast, meaning hold tight and don't move. So it could mean to move quickly or it could mean not to move at all, totally depending upon the context. And so that's why, like I say, we can take the exact same ayah, approach it from different angles, and come up with very different conclusions, but they're not actually completely in contradiction with each other. And this helps us to understand the depth and the majesty and the real treasure that is the Quran. Because these words are there for specific reasons. And the more a person thinks about it, the more background that they have in the various Islamic sciences, the more understanding that they can derive from that, and the more conclusions and the richness and the beauty of the text comes out, obviously depending upon their own background and education level and so on. And even their own, a person's own personal experiences, that all helps feed into the tadabbur and the tafakkur of the Quran, which is what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to have. Much of this information, if you're curious, you can find it in Tafsir al-Kabir by Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi. I've basically just summarized what he said there about this ayah, which is again ayah number 46 in Surah Al-Baqarah, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.